Metacalca. That's a real common saying of John. Metacalca. Okay, guys, read after me.
Metacalca.
Acusa.
Ho.
Bonane. Megalane. Oku. Polu. Into Uranu. Lagontone. Hallelujah. Hey. Soteria. Kai. Hey. Doxa. Kai. Hey. Dynamis. Tu. Diu. Gimo. All right. And then actually, in some of the old manuscripts, there's some more of this text. And it goes on, it says, Hoti, Ale, Ale, Pina, Kai, Dikai, Hai, Trise, Altu. All right. Now let's go back and look at this. This is the second coming of Jesus. You hear about the second coming of Jesus? This is the second coming of Jesus. Now, on this map up here, what part of time are we talking about?
The tribulation.
All right, we're at the end of the tribulation period. Now, we have been through doom and gloom for a long time, haven't we? I mean doom and gloom through the book of tribulation. The book of Revelation and the tribulation period. It's been horror. Hell on earth. All of the things that you can imagine horrible. The book of Revelation. People, for many years, wouldn't even read the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, the Catholic Church doesn't want you reading the book of Revelation because basically it's talking about it. So they kind of shy away from it. They don't say anything about it. They basically say, well, it happened before, whatever. You know, they just ignore the book of Revelation. But the book of Revelation is a very important book of the Bible. One of the most important books, if you can even say that, because all of it is important. But the book of Revelation, we're living in the last days now before the coming of, before the rapture of the Lord's churches. Metatauta. We've seen that little phrase so many times. After these things, I heard. And this word here is first person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. I heard. It comes from akuo. What's the English word that comes from this word? Acoustics. All right. After these things I heard, and then it says as. This is a little particular adverb on page 444 in the analytical lexicon. You can look that one up. Similar as, or like as, are singular to, sometimes just as. Then it says phonane. This is the word sound. This is also the word voice. Alright? After these things are heard, something like a voice, great, and a crowd, much, a great congregation. Alright? The word crowd means at least 5,000 people. When he used that term. Except now we have the word polo, which means more than that. So these are thousands and thousands and thousands of people are voices. And then it says into Urano, in the heaven. In the heaven.
These are crowds of people, and you just hear their voices.
You hear a sound. Mm-hmm. Like many people talking. Okay? Into heaven. And then it says, saying, now what are these people saying here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the only part of the Bible that it's, I'm reading the Father's part of it. That hallelujah is used.
It's used in the Old Testament.
Okay.
But in the New Testament, here we have it. What does hallelujah mean? Remember we studied that word here in the Sunday school class. Do you remember what that word hallelujah means?
Praise be the Lord. Jehovah.
Praise ye Jehovah, or praise Jehovah. And what does it mean besides that? It goes way back to the etymology of the word. It means to make his name shine. It means to polish and to make his name shine. Hallelujah. By the way, it's hallelujah. H. Do you see that in the Greek text? Do you see that rough breather there over that alpha? And then you got lambda, lambda, eta, lambda, omicron, epsilon, iota, alpha. Hallelujah. Now, the Hebrew is hallelujah also. It's got a hate on the front of it. That's hallelujah. Now, the translators of the Septuagint, we hear so many people talking about the inspired translation of the Septuagint from Hebrew into Greek. How well inspired do you think it was when they didn't put the rough breather on it? Hallelujah. Huh?
You're asking question.
How inspired do you think it was when they didn't even pronounce it correctly?
When they pronounced it correctly.
Hallelujah. Instead of hallelujah.
Alright.
Hallelujah. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the Hebrew. And then it says, hey soteria. Hey soteria. That word salvation comes from it. The salvation. The salvation of Jehovah. What does the word Jesus mean? Jesus. That word is Joshua. Same thing, word is Joshua. Jesus is the, actually in this translation of the word Joshua in the New Testament. It should have been Joshua instead of Jesus. Alright? Jesus should be Joshua. Alright? What does Jesus mean?
Jehovah saves.
Jehovah saves. Alright. That's who Jesus was, the salvation of Jehovah. Alright? It says, hallelujah. That's praise Jehovah, or praise ye Jehovah. The salvation. And then it says, kai he doxah. That kai is a conjunction. Alright? Kai he doxah. The glory. That word glory there, doxa, means that he is worthy. He's worthy of glory. Glory. How many of you have seen that picture that my wife drew of the ocean?
Oh, yeah.
That one, that's a beautiful thing. That just talks to you. It glorifies the beauty of the ocean. We can't draw a picture of God. There's no way. No paint, no artist. Not one person could ever draw a picture of the glory of God. People have tried to make facsimiles of Solomon's temple, but they say it's not anything like the real Solomon's temple would be like. Even Herod's temple was very beautiful, but none of the facsimiles today could even be as great as it was at the time of Jesus. The glory. And then it says, hey, Dunamis. Hey, Dunamis. What's this Dunamis? Dynamite. That's right. Dynamite power. The power. To you. What is that? To you. The power of the God. Of the God. The power belonging to God. That's an identity. The power, the salvation belonging to God. Salvation does not come from you. It doesn't come from your good works. I might say this, that if a person is saved, if they say they're saved and they do not do good works, they are not saved. As simple as that. Because saved people act like saved people. They don't act like lost people. God's not going to let you do that, is he? He's not going to let his child act like that. All right? Not act like that for a little while. You end up getting your neck broke. Straighten your eye out sometime or another, either dead or alive. That's the way it is. You hear that old Bush? He's Bin Laden, he's got a warrant out for him, dead or alive, a reward, dead or alive. God would love for you to live for him. Or you can die for him. One or the other. The power belonging to God, the God of us. Our God. And then it says, Hoti. Because Alehine. Because true things are acts that are true. And then it says, and just things are acts that are just. Does it have that in your translation there at all? Does it have the last part of the verse?
True and righteous.
I want to tell you something. In the King James Version, in the original King James Version, this wasn't part of it. They had left out. They had lost this part of this verse. Sometimes King James added things that were not in the original language, but this is one they left out. Okay?
This
is part of two. You got it in part of two?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually
part of two.
Okay. That's some of them put it over there. Because true and true things are acts true, and just deeds are deeds or acts that are just. And the discernments of him. And then 19 and verse 2. Because he judges the harlot. Now we go back to this harlot that God hates so much. What is this harlot? In the on Sunday night, we're studying the parables. And God tells us in the parables that false religion will rise up along with truth. God told Adam how that he was supposed to come to him. Adam sinned and was separated from God, so the way that he was supposed to come back to God was a certain pathway to do it. Now, what was that pathway? You remember that song? What was the pathway? By the what? By blood. And what did the blood of that little lamb that they killed, what did that represent? That represented the future blood of Jesus Christ that was to be shed. It was a type. Now, it didn't forgive sins. That animal was innocent, and it died for the guilty. Correct? The Hmong American Indian people, we had a lot of weird things that we did. One thing was that, well, you can even go back to the Eskimos. When an Eskimo would kill a seal, he didn't. You hear about these great white hunters up here. White people going out and killing animals and seeing how big an animal they can kill and tracking it down and overcoming the animal. The Indians did things a lot different than that. The Eskimos, all Native Americans, when they killed an animal, they had respect for that animal. And they thanked God for its life that they give for them. Because it was a type of Jesus. And they understood this. That animal had given its life like their God had given his life for them. And that animal gave its life. And when I pray, whatever, if you've ever heard me pray at a mealtime, I said, "And Father, thank you for the animals that gave their lives for us." I'm still a heathen Indian, see. And I am thankful for those little animals that gave the lives for us. They did. Now, when an Eskimo would kill a seal, he would melt snow in his mouth and give it a drink of water. And say, "Brother, thank you for what you're going to give to me, your flesh and your blood and your life and all of this, because without you I'd be dead." You know? And that's true. The American Indian, they love the buffalo. Because the buffalo was their life. This last week that Dakota was in school, before she got out, she studied a graphs of history. And one of the graphs of history, it didn't tell me everything about it. I told her a lot more than what the story said. But it was the population of the American bison, the buffalo. And in 1800, there was 30 million plus buffalo in this country. By 1880, there was less than 1 million. And almost went to extinction. the carrier pigeons. There were so many of them that the sky would be black with them. But that's two things that the American Indian needed to keep them alive, these carrier pigeons and these buffalo. They killed a lot of pigeons and ate them. And that buffalo, basically everything that they had, their tools, their clothing, their tents, their everything that they wore and used was from the buffalo. They called him the brother. And the American government gave all the bullets to anybody who would go hunt these buffalo and these pigeons. So they brought them to extinction. To extinction. From 1800 to 1880, from 30 million down to basically nothing. That's a lot. To extinction. The power to make the American Indian a war of the state. That's what it was. A lot of bad things and evil things have happened in history. A lot of bad things. A lot of people have done evil things. A lot of the innocent people have always suffered. But look what it says here in this verse. Just acts. Do you think in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ is ever going to be one unjust, ungodly act like that in history, in that for that 1,000 years? There's not going to be one unjust act. It talks about here acts of justice, acts of truth. His judgings, his decisions will be truth. Judges many times make errors when they make judgments today. Make a lot of errors. And a lot of it's just plain unjust. Then it says over here, it says that he judges the harlot, this false religion. Hotei, ikrenen, tain, pornei. He judges the harlot. See that word pornei there? What one of our words comes from that? Pornography. This woman, this harlot, as the Bible calls her, this great prostitute of the ages, she began in the days of Cain. False religion did. God judged false religion at the Tower of Babel, didn't he? Right at the Tower of Babel, if you look on this thing, he judged false religion there. He judged false religion with a flood. On this earth. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't he? Judgment. That's direct judgment from God. When God does something directly, you've got to know that his opinion of that situation is bad. People in the world today, well, it's all right if somebody has a religion, they'll say. It's okay. Let them worship God in the eyes of their own heart, or with the eyes of their own heart. Let them listen to the God that they want to follow. Well, Cain followed that kind of God, didn't he?
Didn't the three sons pick up the bad, you know, how they were before the flood, didn't they?
Ham, and Japheth.
Didn't they pick up the sin?
Well, let's go back and look. False religion now. Remember, here's the flood. Mm-hmm. We have human government. God says, now I want to institute the death penalty. I want no man to kill another man and shed another man's blood like Cain did Abel. Mm-hmm. And after the flood, that's when the animals started eating each other. Yeah. Man was communicating with animals directly, and the animals weren't killing each other or anything before the flood. Everybody got along fine. Just, you know, in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that a little child will go out and play with an asp, like a toy, and lay down beside a leon, a lion, and pet the bears. You go up to Yellowstone Park, go up here to Yosemite, and just run out there and start petting the bear and see what's going to happen to you. Go out here at the petting, not the petting place, but the calm out here, California Living Museum, and run in there and jump in one of the mountain lion cages. Or one of those bear cages. Run in there and grab you one of them little kittens, one of those bobcats, and see what happens. I got scars all over me from those kind of things. Raccoons, they don't get along with you very much anymore. Yes, Dakota.
There was a little girl that would be afraid of
the pet snake. That's right. You won't be afraid of them, and I won't be afraid of you.
And
sure. Yeah, if there's any sharks there, we're going to be able to pet them too. Play with them a little bit. I don't know whether they're going to be needing sharks over there in the New World. Kind of like dinosaurs now. And the earliest, Earth's earliest ages. Things will be different over there. The harlot, the great, this false religious system that came all the way down. Cain's bunch. Cain's religion. Back here where you're talking about when the flood came, God established human government, then he had, they totally failed in that. Nimrod and his bunch went over there, they built the Tower of Babel. And it was a false religious system. And they said, we'll build our tower all the way to heaven. All the way up into the highest parts of the sky so we can see it from a long way off. And everybody will know where we are. This one world power, one world religion. One world government. His idea came from the Antichrist to come, didn't it? Well, God divided the earth. He confused languages. Split up the earth. And from these people was all of Europe and America, and all this was populated. India, Africa, and all that. This is where it came from, right here at this period of time. Now look, my daughter was asking me yesterday. I had a film on TV here a while back, and it came on the movies, or American movie classics, you know, these old movies. Had this, these black people of Africa had caught these white people over there, and one of them, they took him and rolled him up in mud and started cooking him.
Yeah.
They're going to eat him. And they were beating him up and doing all kinds of these things to these people, and they were eating them. They were cannibals. They were eating people. Everyone originally knew God. Well, all of our father is Adam, not him. I was talking on the radio, and some people came on last night. I got on the radio for a few minutes, and they started asking me Bible questions last night. You know, here the most important day of the in the world, the history of mankind, just took place yesterday. What was that? That's when we celebrate this time of year, whether it was when he was born or not, we celebrate this time of year. This is when God, Jehovah, became flesh to redeem us. So people were thinking about God. And they started asking me questions last night about this. And they said something about, because they know I'm Indian, they call me Indian Jim, you know, or the Indian or whatever. And they said, what about this? So I told them about it. And somebody said, well, Indians aren't related to Adam. I said, yes, they are. Well, okay, from one place. I said, and it says in the days of Peleg, God divided the earth and confused the languages and spread us all out, all over the world. But you'll find out, the darkest places away from God, they were practicing human slavery and cannibalism. And human slavery. Yes, Dakota. Sin.
Yeah,
there's some.
And Aztec Indians were doing the same thing.
That's right.
And they. There's. I call it thing about all the cannibalism that they came from.
Mm-hmm. If you take the world, the globe, and pull it apart, you're going to find out down in Central and South America, where those pyramids were, it comes right out of Africa. And Egypt. That's where it comes. The same people, when that was divided, they were practicing mass slavery and killing and eating people. That's the major places it was. And why? Why did they do that? Because they had gone a long way from God. And every one of them knew God at one time. Not one race of human people, according to the Romans, the first chapter, there is not one person born in this world that does not know that there is a God. You have to teach somebody that there is no God to make them an atheist. But they will pervert the truth and bring it into a religion of their own imagination. Religion is not good for man. In general, only true religion is. Religion will usually lead somebody away from God and lock them away from God. You see that all through this. The Greek culture in history. Look back at the Greek culture. How great a culture it was at one time. That's where you have the beginning of a democracy. And you had individual rights. You had voting rights of the people of the nation. They had the ecclesia, which we take the word church from today. It was a democratic body ruling itself locally under the rules of the kingdom. All right? That's what it was. All these things were beautiful. Even Alexander the Great, as puffed up as he was an alcoholic, but he was a great conqueror, and he had a mastermind of philosophy. And every day when he would wake up in the morning, he would have his personal valet tell him, "Alexander, thou art but mortal. Thou art but a mortal. You are not a god." He had that man repeat that to him every day. And then when Alexander was the Great was when he died, he said, "I want you to do one thing with me." They usually wrap their hands and arms and stuff up. "I want you to put my hands on the outside of the casket and leave them open so they'll know I'm not taking anything with me." Empty-handed, he left this world. How many of you ever heard said, well, how much did that guy leave behind? How much did he leave behind? A multi-millionaire, a billionaire? You know how much they leave behind? Everything. They're not taking one thing with them. It doesn't go to heaven with you. If you want to be rich in this world, give your life and your funds to God. And then you'll be rich in the next life. That's what God tells you. That's what he tells you to do. The harlot, this false religious system, all the way down through the ages, it has existed. False religion. And it has always persecuted. It has always enslaved people. False religion enslaves people. Paul called himself a doulos. Doulos comes from Deo, Delta Epsilon Omega. Let me write these up on the board for you so you can see it. Paul called himself a doulos. And that comes from Deo. And that means divine. Paul called himself a slave. A bought and paid for slave. Paul had been a slave to false religion one time. Did you know that? You know what he did he said, "I was a zealot. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews." And he said, "Nobody was before me. I was number one man in killing God's people." He was on the way to Damascus, Syria, when God stopped him in his tracks. He was a religious man, but going to hell. A religious man that was persecuting people of truth. The true New Testament churches that were gone out in the world. Paul stood there when Stephen was stoned in Jerusalem. Paul gave his vote as a member of the Sanhedrin and told them to stone Stephen. And they killed him. That's not all they did to Stephen, was it? What else did they do to Stephen after they stoned him? They ran and bit him with their teeth. Chewed on him. Chewed on his dead flesh. in anger and hatred. Anger.
What did God do to Paul?
Paul knocked him down. He aborted him. He aborted him. Paul said, I was an abortion. That's what he said. I was an abortion. Because he was on his way to becoming he said he was a child of Satan. And God turned him around. That was one place in the Bible where we absolutely see that the sovereignty of God jumped in there and grabbed the man by the neck and said, stop. No further will you walk. I'll knock you down. Not only did he knock him down, what else did he do to him? Paul was blind to false religion, wasn't he? And Jesus called the Pharisees, and we're going to study that next Sunday night, too. Next 2 weeks. We've got two more weeks of parables. He said, you blind people trying to lead other blind people. And he said, both of you fall in the ditch. God blinded Paul. He was blind. He never saw again. What helped him recover his sight? When he was obedient to God, and he did what? Dakota. When he allowed himself to be, yes?
He said, a man's house is a religion.
Yes, he was supposed to go to a man's house. And what was going to happen to Paul there at that man's house? What was God going to do to him?
Learn about Jesus.
He already learned about Jesus.
And,
he didn't eat until he got there either, did he? You got all those right. He was baptized. He was already saved. The Lord turned him around. And when he was baptized, when he became obedient to God in true religion, his eyes opened. And he could see again. It said the blindness fell away from his eyes like scales or shingles off his eyes. And he could see again. False religion had blinded him. It says, because he judges the harlot, the great, who she kept on defiling the earth with the fornication of her. False religion. How, Dakota, you asked me how those cannibals, why they eat people? False religion. Why did Paul kill Christians? False religion. The Romans took over the Greek Empire after Alexander the Great died. And they copied all of the culture of the Romans, of the Greeks. And then they became super affluent. The rich became richer, and the poor became poorer. And they had plenty of time off, and their emperors were perverse. And the government was just falling to pieces. And finally, people repented of their sins and what they were doing wrong. And the government recovered again. They had, you know what one of the things that the Roman government had done? They were printing or coining silver and gold plated copper. Now just think for just a little bit. Their coins were devaluated. Their money was devaluated. They had come to the point in history, the Romans had. Their homosexuality was rampant. Multiple marriages and all kinds of stuff was going on. This immorality total in Rome. And the government started saying, something's wrong here. We're going away. We're losing what we have. Let's straighten out. We're going to, not for God's sake, but for the government's sake, for Rome's sake. Let's turn around and straighten up. The people had taken the real gold and silver and squandered it, the leaders had. And they had printed and coined gold and silver plated copper. And he said, we've got to go back to a silver and a gold standard. So they really started, they went back. They called in all that plated money and started printing real silver and real gold again. And they recovered the government for a while. They brought it back. They kept it alive for a long time. And then finally it became the Catholic Church. It became the Roman government. In 325 AD, Constantine the Great married the Church of Rome with the government of Rome. And of course that was false religion too. They started out wasn't quite so false, was it, in the beginning? But as the years went by, it got more and more and more corrupt. And finally, in the 1500s, the whole world said it's enough. The Dark Ages have come upon mankind.
Who was Charlemagne?
Charlemagne, he was a French ruler.
Yeah.
In the Crusades, King Louis of France, they were fighting against the Turks and the Muslims. Yeah. That's why you have so much Turkish and Muslim influence in Spain. The tile roofs and the mosaic floors and things, that came from the Middle East, didn't come from Spain, didn't originate there. Well, history repeats itself over and over and over and over again. Where are we now? Just like what Rome was, the mess that Rome was in. The whole world now has the eyes of the whole world were on the Middle East. The Middle East, you know what that was? That was the cradle of humanity. That's where humanity was born. It's also going to be the burial place of humanity. I keep talking about this old Bin Laden going to go over there and capture him. I don't think they're going to capture him. He might blow a whole bunch of them up when they find him. Those people are religiously insane. They say, oh, he don't have enough guts to do this or that. He's got enough guts to do what he did. He's nuts. He's religiously insane. And to think that they could go over there and capture him without him blowing them up, just like they did in those airplanes and stuff. Those people think that they have a guarantee into heaven when they die for their religion. Did you know that the Muslim faith has no salvation? No Savior in it? Did you know that? There's no salvation there. There's no Savior in it. There is no Savior in Muslim faith. You have to do it yourself. That's why they fast like they do. They have to live a moral life to get to heaven. They have to do something to get there. And one of the things that they have to do that they can guarantee themselves a place in heaven is if they kill a bunch of people, of the enemies. If they go out of this world killing the enemy, then they're guaranteed a place in heaven. And that's exactly what every one of these people that died did. They think that. Of course, they woke up in hell instantly because it's false religion. False religion is no good for you. Now, this prostitute here, this harlot, she kept on defiling the earth with her fornication. And then it says here that God has vindicated the blood of his servants, his slaves. False religion will, like what I was saying a few moments ago, it will make a slave out of you. But true religion will have you make a slave out of yourself for God's sake because you're so happy what he did for you. Because you couldn't do it. False religion will make a slave out of you. But the Holy Spirit of God will allow you to make the slave out of yourself to God. There's a whole lot of difference there. It may sound like the same end. False religion will say, you can't get to heaven unless you do this. We want this, we want this. You've got to do this, you've got to do that.
Forced
labor.
Free will.
We are saved by the grace of God and we have a Savior that did, he gave his life for us. But we're so thankful that he did that, then that we serve him. because we love Him. The service. God will bring justice upon this false religion, and He's going to vindicate His servants because she has killed so many of them down through the age, and she's still doing it up till the time when God judges her. 19 and verse 3. Kai, Duteru, Arekon, Hallelujah, Kai, Ho, Kaphios, Altais, Anabine, Hais, Tus, Ionas, Ton, Aeon. Dakota, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be ready now. I want you to think Greek. All right? And I want you to translate it for me when I tell you this. All right? Kai Deuteru. And secondly, they have said, who's this? All these voices in heaven. They have said, praise ye Jehovah. And the smoke of her, it goes up unto, it says, Ace, Tus, Ionis, Tonio. Dakota. Agapeo, see, Agapeta. Ace, Tonio, Tonio. What did I say? Agapeo, see, Agapeta. Agapeta. Beloved. Beloved. And how long am I going to do it? Forever and ever. Ace Tony, on Tony, on. All right. Ace, Tus, Ionis, Tony, on. Forever and ever. That word ages upon the ages. Ages upon the ages. Ages upon ages. An age is something that a man cannot comprehend for so long. But this is ages upon the ages. Eternity. Man does not know how to describe eternity, so this is how he describes it. Ages upon the ages, without end. And sometimes it's called world without end, time without end. 19 and verse 4. Kai, Epheson, Hoi, that's Presbyterio. Kai. Prosek Tenason. Tu Thiu. Tu Ka Thimanu. Epi. To Throno. And then Logontes. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, that's real easy to do, wasn't it? That last one. Amen. Anybody say that? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. And they fell. They tripped. The elders. The 24. They tripped. They fell down. Have you ever been so astonished at something you almost fell down? Have you ever come upon a scene or something that just absolutely knocked you flat? So astonishing. That's what happened here to the 24 elders. The 24 elders. Now, who are these 24 elders? Who do you think they are? You might be one of them. Did you know that? The 24 elders are the saved people from all the ages. The saved people from all the ages. That's what these 24 elders represent. And then it says the Zoan. How many of you have been to a zoo? What do you do at a zoo? What do you do?
All the animals and if they have
That's right. And we call that a zoo, and it comes from this Greek word, zoo. That means you look at living things. All right? Look at living beings. And it says the four living beings, and they bent the knee toward. They worshiped. They fell down and bent the knee toward. They bowed down and worshiped. Yes, the total. Yeah, that, the zoo animals look at you and wonder who you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Sometimes they look back.
And they wonder what you're doing.
Yeah, they do.
They have a question in their head.
Yeah, they sometimes have a question in their head. Why were you there looking at them? They bent the knee toward, they worship the God, the one sitting upon the throne. The God sitting upon the throne. Now, who's going to be upon that throne? Who's going to be upon that throne? Who's that before? Well, he's going to be right there. Why is Jesus going to be on the throne? Why? Who is God the Father? Who is God the Father? Who is God the Father to God?
Jehovah.
Well, he is Jehovah. He's called Jehovah too. But who is God the Father? Can you see God the Father?
No.
No. The only way you can see God the Father is by looking at the physical expression of God, which is the Son. God the Father is invisible. God the Son you can see. All right? You can see that. Why, Tony there has a spirit. I've never seen Tony's spirit. And my mother has a spirit. I've never seen that either. But I can see the person that you have in this world. When I started preaching to Tony 20-something years ago, I had a lot more hair than I do today. A lot younger. My body has been changing and growing older, but my spirit is just as alive as it was then. It doesn't grow old. Your body grows old, but not the spirit. And your mind. I hope I'm smarter than I was back then. I hope that I've learned something in that 20-something years, because I've been studying all this time. My mind gets better. The only thing about it, I told my wife the other day, I said, I think it's all filled up because I can't remember anything anymore. Maybe it's full. I keep trying to remember now and I can't remember anymore. Just filled it up, I guess, and you know, get so much water in a bucket. I guess I ran to its holder. Well, we can't see God the Father. But we can see God the Father because we can see God the Son. How about the Holy Spirit? Do you think you can see?
Yeah.
Only way we can see the Holy Spirit is through the Son. Because the Son is the physical expression of God the Holy Spirit. And then the end of this verse says, legontes. That's nominee plural masculine. Present participle active. Saying, it comes from Lego, doesn't it? What does Lego mean? What's the etymology of the word Lego? Remember the little bird walking out there picking up things? Walking out there picking. This is where you get the word election comes from this, too. You elect in your mind to put word what?
Choosing.
Choosing. You choose words in your vocabulary and put them in line so you can communicate to somebody else. And these, all of these saved beings and redeemed beings and created beings around the throne of God are saying, Amen. Now, Amen is a particle of affirmation. You can look that up on page 8 if you want to in that little Benjamin Davis's analytical Greek lexicon. Amen. It comes all the way to us through several languages, and it doesn't change. The name does not change. And it's not translated. Most of the time we just say Amen. But what does Amen mean? How far back in language does it go? Can you tell me the first language that we know of that it came from?
Not the Babylon.
Babylonian is called Persian. Ancient Babylon was Persian.
Persian, yeah.
All right? Persian.
No, he's heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Persian. And it meant to prop up something and to support something. And then it came into Hebrew, and it still meant to prop up and to affirm something. And it came into Greek, and it's still amen. And then it came into English, and it's still amen. And when you say amen, what do you mean?
I stand behind it.
I'll stand behind what I say. All right. Jesus, when he started to talk to the sons of Israel, he would say, amen, amen. Absolutely, most affirmatively. Absolutely, most affirmative, hallelujah. Look at that. Most affirmatively, hallelujah. Praise God. Why? Because salvation has come to man. Finally. They've been looking for it for a long time, but now the time is here. 19 and verse 5, and then we're going to quit for tonight. Kai, Bone, Apo, Tu, Kronu, Exelthane, Lagusa, Anete, Tu, Theu, Hemon, Pontes, Hoy, Deloy, Alto, Kai, Hoy, Bobinoy, Alto, Hoy, Mikroy, Kai, Hoy, Megaloy. And it says, and the voice or the sound from the throne, it came out. This sound came out of the throne room of God. Now, what is that throne room? Remember we talked about here a while back, somebody asked me about what that throne looked like. It described it early in the book of Revelation, didn't it? How, what about it? Let's remember that. Let's look and see where the voices have come from and the glory of the beauty of this thing. I'd get my wife to draw a picture of this, but I don't think paints will do it. There is a sea, it said, around the throne. A glassy sea of sapphire. You got your sapphire stuff on tonight? No. A blue stone. A sea. The sea that throne is sitting upon is the foundation. It's the floor. And the floor is like crystal clear sapphire. And around, capacity in capacity, that throne is a rainbow. We get our word from the Greek rainbow, we get our word iris from it. What is the iris of the eye? Huh? That's the color. You got a rainbow right here. Around your eye is color. Color. This rainbow throne of God. Glorious. It talks about gold. It talks about silver. All precious stones and all the colors that you can imagine of shining. God is a God of power, beauty, and movement. He doesn't like ugly things. He doesn't like ugly things. He creates beautiful stuff. My little girl got up this morning, got her pretty dress she's got on, came in there, looked at me, had her hair all combed. She said, "How do I look, Daddy?" And I said, "You look beautiful." One of these days, you're going to look at this earth and it's going to look just like God made it new. Like it's brand new again. How many of you ever had a brand new car and you got in that car and you smelled it, it smelled brand new? And you looked at that engine compartment, and it was nice and shiny and brand new in there. And the tires, they had those little tips on them, and they were real good. The brakes worked real good. The thing started real good and took off real good. And it was going downhill ever since. just like this universe is running down. It's running down. It's not running up. It's running down until God rebuilds it. He's going to rebuild it. And a voice from the throne, it came out saying, "Ye praise to the God of us, all the servants of Him, and the ones fearing Him." The little bitty ones, the micro, see that? Micro. And the megaloid, and the ones great. Praise God, ye that fear God, the great and the small. And next week, we're going to have a wedding. We're going to have a wedding next week. That's what we're going to talk about. 19 and verse 6. 19 and verse 6. Thank you for your attention tonight. Hope you enjoyed something from the Word of God tonight. These are glorious things. God's judgments are going to be passed here real soon, and we're going to find rewards. You know, you go out and you work for a week or 2 weeks, and then you get your paycheck, don't you? Do you remember, Marilyn, you remember when you first got your first paycheck? It was real good money. You went and you were scared to go to work, and you walked in that place, and you were scared to death to go in there, and you worked real hard, and all of a sudden it's payday. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is paycheck time right here. This is payday. Payday someday.
This is it.
Payday. Let me dismiss you in prayer. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Bind it to our hearts and to our minds and help us to understand it better every day. Help us to glorify you when we go out. Help us to tell others about the class and God's word. Forgive me where I fail you. And help me to glorify you with my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.